See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
I've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we have a couple of guests with us right now.
It's crowded in here. We need more elbow room.
Yeah.
Who's here?
Yeah, introduce us, Joe.
So we've got two.
Yeah.
Is this the first time we've had two guests at the same time?
I think so. I think it is. So. Yeah.
So we have two very special guests, Tim and Aaron, and we've known them. These are friends of ours from college, from St. Ambrose University.
We go back a long way.
Aaron, not so much, but Tim, Tim and his wife, Aaron. So, say hi. Hi to the three or four listeners we got sitting at home.
The Cinescarians. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim went to college with us. Are you still an opera singer, by the way?
I am not.
Oh, okay. Well, you still sing, I would imagine, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Every day in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just doesn't, get paid for it.
That's right.
Ah, yeah. Well,
you're not living the dream.
No. And he gave me my own theme song too. Every time he'd see me, he would sing. Yeah, he'd sing my name to the Flash Gordon theme.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would hear this every single day, at least once. It really depended on how many times I saw you that day, I think, is how often I heard that.
18 times.
It didn't. In fact, my very first email address my very first private email address was not Yahoo, AOL, I think, or something like that. Or no. Yeah, Yahoo. It might have been Yahoo. Yeah.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. Yeah.
Netscape Navigator.
It was MATTAAAH. And then after several years of using that, I realized it was really hard to tell people what my email address was. Yeah. So I went to something much easier to do. But yeah, that was my handle for a while. Yeah.
Very good.
Well, Tim and Aaron are partially responsible for the movies that we picked this
episode. The blame.
Yes.
Yes.
Most of the blame. Two thirds, actually. So you're gonna be held accountable for this episode. Unlike what was the last one two ago that I picked?
That you picked?
It was awful.
That was brutal. I think it was Tubi Massacre. That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Now
Tubi Massacre. Tubi was a really Massacre. Bad episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were awful. Oh my God.
Oh. But not these.
No.
These are top notch.
They are actually those movies make these seem like, the English Patient or something.
Yes, this is upper echelon of the horror industry right here.
Oh, 100%.
But we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. Hey Joe, what did you Matt. Watch recently?
I watched some stuff. Jesus, I watched a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You'd swear I didn't go to work. I started watching, for those of you hockey fans out there, I'm a huge fan of the TV show Shorzy on Hulu.
What's
I rewatched
Shorzy?
All of that. It is a TV show. It is a comedy by Jared Kesso or Kiso. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. I think it's Kiso. Anyway, it's a great hockey comedy sitcom on Hulu. Yeah. And season 4, I believe at the time of recording, comes out tomorrow. So I want to make sure I was all caught up on that. Unfortunately, I finished it too quickly and I started watching his other show for the, I believe, second or third time, Letterkenny. Which, for those comedy fans, fantastic writing on that show. I think I've made it up to about season 5 on that one.
I think I made it to episode 5. I just couldn't hang with that. It annoyed me too much after a while.
I also, White Lotus came back on the air on HBO, season 3. I started watching that. I also started watching Reacher again on Amazon Prime.
Is that any good?
I actually kind of like it with Alan Ritchson. It's along the same lines as the Jack Reacher. I guess they're all coming from the Jack Reacher novels, but there was a Tom Cruise movie. There were actually two. One was decent. One was absolutely terrible. But we're on season 3 of this right now. They're coming out 1 week at a time. I think the first 3 episodes are out. It's not a bad watch if you like military and I guess action, crime, whodunit type stuff. I was still not satisfied with enough to watch, so I started watching Noah Wiley in HBO's The Pit, which is basically, it's kind of like 24 set in the ER because it all takes place in the same day. Each episode is an hour long, and it takes, you know, the first episode is from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and then 8
like
a.m.
24?
Exactly like 24. So this is basically, this whole season is one day in the ER in Pittsburgh.
24 got a little ridiculous because that episode, like he'd be in Culver City in LA, early in the hour. 20 minutes later, he'd be in like Santa Clarita Valley. And anybody who drives out here knows that's impossible in the middle of the day. I'm sorry.
At least they didn't go the opposite route and do like that whole episode where he gets lunch.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this is pretty good. And what I like about this, not that it's going too overboard or over the top, but, Noah Wiley got his start on ER, which was on NBC. That's network television. Now he's able to do this on Max, and they don't have any restrictions as far as language or, more to the point, the graphic, gory, disgusting skin and body parts that you're looking at. If somebody comes into the ER and half their face is blown off, you see it. It's compelling. I kind of like it. I also went to the movie theater, saw Captain America Brave New World, which could have been a lot better if it weren't for the damn marketing department. Matt, did you know that the Red Hulk is in that movie?
I did. Yeah.
Everybody did. Yeah. And you know what? That movie would have been a billion times better had they not plastered that all over the posters and the commercials and everything. That would have been like the coolest reveal.
Yeah.
You know, opening weekend, you go and you see it, and oh my God, Red Hulk is in there. But they didn't, so that kind of screwed it. I also saw, because I did one of those, I bought one ticket, saw two movies things, The Monkey.
Oh, good.
Which, have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It's not anywhere near as good as, let's say, a Long Legs by Osgood Perkins, but it is very entertaining. It's captivating. If you want gore, there's plenty of it. It's more of a dark comedy, a horror comedy than anything else. If you want to go and just see a bunch of funny ways or clever ways that they kill people, this movie is 100% up your alley. But I will say, by the time they get to the third act, they kind of lost me. The story kind of fizzled out. It's like they ran out of cool ways to kill people. So then they had to fill the rest of the time with just an actual storyline, and that's kind of where they lost me. But what I was questioning on is, I saw a bunch of people online that said, stick around after the credits because there's another trailer. And there wasn't, at least not in my theater, because I purposely had to stick around because I went to see Captain America afterwards and I was trying to kill some time in between shows. So like lights were up, the screen was black, you know, it's like the projector was done for the day.
That's weird.
But I did manage to find out online what it was, is there, Osgood Perkins has another movie coming out called The Keepers, which looks like the trailer that I saw online really focuses on a whole bunch of different women, and it looks like some sort of serial killer type of thing. But I don't know. Osgood Perkins is really nailing it. Just like, he hasn't made a stinker yet. So I don't know anything about it, but I'm already kind of looking forward to it just because he's attached. So
yeah.
And that's finally it. And then that's slept and went to work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Tim and Aaron? Have you guys watched any horror movies other than what was this, the assignment this week?
Oh, well, I wouldn't classify it horror, and we're real late to the game because, you know, but we just cycling through cable is the remake of The Crow.
Oh.
Have you seen
it? Is it good?
No.
I wouldn't call it good. Is it a
complete waste of time?
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was surprisingly gory. Like, whoa.
Really?
Extremely brutal. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it kept us awake.
Great special effects. Lots of caved in heads and.
Oh my God! Yeah, like it was just brutal.
Huh.
It was not.
So are you saying it's worth a watch?
It's worth checking out.
Yeah. I mean, don't like go in thinking, "Ooh, this is so well written," and you know.
Yeah.
Can't rain all the time.
You sold me. I'm going to look for it on 4K Blu-ray right now.
Oh,
that's typically my MO.
Yeah. There's no in between for Joe. Yeah. He either isn't going to watch the movie or he has to buy it.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah.
I don't know what we saw it on. It's probably on Max or something.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, we'll look in.
I think it is streaming now. So yeah, I'll have to check that out. Well, what did I watch? I watched The Dead Thing that is on. It's on Shudder, and this was pretty good. It was very interesting. This was directed by a guy that I can't say I know him. I've met him a couple times. He's a pretty famous podcaster for horror on the Colors of the Dark podcast, and he directed this. His name's Elric Kane, and it's about a young woman lost in a series of meaningless connections. She falls in love with a charismatic and sensitive young man who hides a dark secret that turns her affair into a dangerous obsession. So I'm going to tell you it's a mild spoiler in that it really is the setup of the whole movie. So it's not a huge spoiler, but if you want to go in completely blind, I don't think it's necessary, but if you do, maybe skip ahead a minute. But basically the premise of this is that this woman goes, she has a bunch of dates and mostly they're just one night stands, and she winds up meeting this guy and they have a connection, and she's like, oh wow, he's cute. And they really hit it off, and they like spend the whole night together, and they, you know, and she actually, unlike everyone else she's dated, she actually is like, oh, I want to talk to this guy again. And when she starts texting him, he doesn't reply. Literally ghosting her. Yeah. Well, that's the setup. It turns out that he is dead and reliving his date night over and over. And so it goes from there. And so it, you know, I know that's the setup and it sounds like a spoiler, but it really, you find this out within like the first 20 minutes of the movie. And then the rest of the movie is about how she, you know, what she wants to do. Like, you know, obviously there's no future. This guy's dead, but they had this connection.
You're close-minded, sure.
Yeah. Or if you're okay with just having a date with somebody who doesn't remember you ever, you know, anytime you get together with them. But it's a really cool premise. I like the style of it too. It's very, I guess I'd call it a little on the slow burn side, but not really, because it's more of it's more of an intimate film, but I don't think I'd call it slow burn. It was very intriguing and, definitely worth checking out. And then I did start White Lotus as well. And that, I don't know if you noticed that, Joe, but have you guys watched White Lotus?
Tim, I watched the first Aaron? Season and everybody was so despicable that I couldn't get past it.
Oh.
But there wasn't a person that had a redeeming quality about them.
True horror.
Yeah.
I
really like what's her. Yeah, no, it doesn't change, but that's kind of the fun part of it, is seeing them get their comeuppance, you know, and really the one character that you really like in the first couple seasons, I can't remember her name, the actress, the blonde woman,
Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge. Yeah. So her husband in the first season is back in this season. And I don't know if you knew this, Joe, but that guy was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. I was looking at because and I didn't realize, I don't know if I knew that before and I forgot or what, but I knew he looked familiar the first time I saw him. And then this season, I'm like, gosh, where do I know this guy from? And I look him up and it's Uncle Rico.
I have the opposite problem. I can't see him and not think that. Yes, yeah. And that's Laszlo from Real Genius. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. But he'll always be Uncle Rico to me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But White Lotus, yeah, I mean, it's not horror, but it has, you know, crime elements or whatever. So it's interesting
mystery,
show.
Mystery, intrigue.
Yeah, there is mystery, certainly. And they set up all these, you know, so far it does seem to be developing a little more slowly than previous seasons to me. But it's good. And I like the British actress. She was from the show Sex Education. She's really good, too. And then, yeah, the dead thing, obviously. And of course, I'm continuing watching Severance, which is fantastic. And that show keeps going down the rabbit hole. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And
you
that's
figured
it
really. Out yet?
No, I have not figured it out, no. Joe. Have you?
No. Maybe next episode.
Joe, would you sign up for Severance? Would you be okay with a part of you always at work?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I would. Mm. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't anybody?
I guess it's just I would feel bad about my work self, you know?
I wouldn't.
Because it would be weird because it's really all you, but there's part of you who doesn't know life outside of work ever, which I don't know how they don't kill themselves. That would be the worst existence ever.
Why? Because you're financially stable because
no, I'm talking about the people at work all the time. You know what I mean?
Oh, how they don't. Well, yeah. Love what you do. You never work a day in your life.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's a waffle party.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
their job is odd, though. You got to admit. Too.
It's so weird.
Yes. Yeah. The waffle. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
Do their job, but if I had to do my job, I'd never want to leave.
It does seem like they have a lot of free time. You know, like that they do have a lot of time to go exploring, and I don't know what they're getting done, but
yeah, if I worked that little, I'd probably get fired. Although that is one thing they've got going for them is they probably can't get fired.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, no, they can be fired, but they have to. I mean, it seems like they really have to fuck up.
They have to drown one of their fellow employees.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to our pick of the week. So that's yours, Joe. And I guess by proxy, Aaron and Tim as well.
Yes. So the 2/3 of these movies, which I'll just tell you, it's Anatomy and Anatomy 2, were brought to my attention because Aaron raved about them the last time we were together. Is that not accurate?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I probably did.
Well, at least the first one.
We're gonna go with through our medical history of this German anatomy episode and start with Anatomy in 2000, starring Franca. Matt, how do you pronounce that?
Franca Potente, I think, or Potent. I'm not sure.
Potente.
Potente.
God, that's a Potente. Nice Irish Catholic name. So this movie is I know. Comanche Indian. A cute med student starts a summer course at Heidelberg University, and David's on her dissection table. She met him the day before on the train, so something has gone terribly wrong. She meets this guy, and then the very next day, whoops, there he is. So, Matt, why don't you start off taking off the reins of this particular film?
Well, I got to say her original doctor where she was graduating school or whatever, the guy who was the head doctor there, he was a horn dog. That guy was like up against all the girls and lingering touches and everything. I was like, whoa. There was some groovy music in this movie, I got to say. There were some I think they played a couple songs over and over, but there were a few that I hadn't seen before. And I did a little Shazam actually, to see, never mind. It's not worth it. I did like a couple of the tunes. I did keep seeing boom mics in the tops of shots over and over in this. I counted at least six. Boom mic and shot it with mom hugging her at 6:50. And I put that down. And then
I got to go back.
I only saw
three.
Oh, it was so obvious. I mean, they were like dipping into the shot. Like it was insane. You saw three or were you?
I saw three. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was looking for them.
I will say Franca. And by the way, have you seen the movie? What's the one where she's running? Run, Lola, Run.
Run, Lola, Run.
That's the reason why I watched this movie.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
We wanted to see more with her, so then we watched Anatomy.
She was also in Born Identity.
Right.
I know.
She
runs in that one, too.
Yeah. She's good at running.
It's like Tom Cruise.
But I will say that she gives CPR. It was one of the best examples of giving CPR properly I've ever seen in a movie. Most of the time they don't do it right, but this, she had her arms straight and she was doing it and it was all proper. It was, I congratulate the movie for finally doing it. Normally they're going like this and it looks like they're going to destroy the person or absolutely do nothing for them, one or the other. But she was actually, she had her arms correctly, and she felt for the sternum, all that stuff you're supposed to do. So proper.
So props, is that like your archery? I would pick apart, you know, archery things, and you at CPR.
I mean, I don't do CPR as a hobby, but.
Yeah. You should take that up.
Yeah, I guess I should. Yeah. But yeah, here
comes
was
in handy a lot more than archery would.
I wrote, wow, another boom mic. And then I wrote three, four, five. Several boom mics were in shots. I started to wonder if maybe I think the movie might have been, they were only accounting for it to be a widescreen, like letterbox kind of screen. And maybe when they formatted it for a television, even though we have widescreen televisions now, it's not quite letterbox size on your television. So maybe when they expanded it, then that exposed the boom mics. I don't know, but I would imagine whoever edited it should have seen six boom mics plus, you know, if there were more. I thought the roommate was pretty funny.
Gretchen.
Yeah.
Gretchen.
She had
the brilliant Gretchen, the brilliant whore.
Yeah. She had her moments.
I had no idea. She was the smart, pretty girl.
Did you see music video?
No.
The song she's singing while she's doing it with the guy on the operating table, table. It's her song. So there's a music video at the end of the DVD. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That wasn't on my rental.
He's wearing all vinyl in the operating room table. It's crazy.
As opposed to the granny panties. Wow.
She shifted those out.
The lace granny panties.
Yeah.
Oh, the cat. My cat just took a shit again, and it smells so fucking bad.
This is like the second time in a row. I don't think your cat likes the show.
I don't think so. I think that is the problem.
Voicing the cat's displeasure. Yeah.
And now look at him. He's back here laying on my clothes.
Laughing.
Oh, now.
Yeah. How you like that? Counting boom mics. Here's a boom mic for you.
Yeah.
I got a boom mic hanging down.
I think you're so smart. Watch this.
Yeah, that was my next note. Doing it on the autopsy table. I don't know. That seems a little. I mean, I'm sure they clean those things, but I don't know. It seems a little odd to me. And this is Germany, but they had an Aldi bag. I noticed an Aldi
That's
grocery
Germany,
bag.
Aldi from.
That's
right. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I did not know that,
but I had the same note. I said this cadaver is sponsored by Aldi.
Oh, that's funny.
German.
Yeah, and. It looks very much like an early 2000s film. very much like it, you know, that everything, the look
you
of it.
You can't
the,
get any earlier 2000 than 2000.
Yeah. Well, no. Yes. Well, that's true. Late 90s, early 2000s. Jesus, yeah. This poop smells so bad, by the way. Oh, it's like I can taste it. Oh,
Your hair, probably.
I do feel like there's not a lot of phones in the building she's running around in trying to get away. There's a lack of phones. Maybe that's on purpose, but it doesn't seem like she can call anybody. And they did the old hit somebody with a chair routine and it falls apart. I would love to see a movie where the chair doesn't break and it actually really hurts somebody, because that would, I mean, if it breaks on you, then it might not hurt as much, right? I would imagine. Force against force or whatever, but if it doesn't, then that means that you broke, not the chair.
Yeah,
those are the kinds of observations that make us a popular.
These are the same. Yes, these are the same critiques we give the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, those guys, they won't hear from us anymore.
Amateurs. Yeah.
Yeah. The mid-credit scene basically means that all of these people are still free to do their experiments. Even the guy in the blue who with the beard that was kind of their henchman or whatever, nothing happened to him. Like all these people are in on it, you know, and I feel like nothing happened to any of them except for the people who died, you know? So yeah. I liked this one better than part two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like this part two as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim or Aaron, what did you guys think of this film? Do you guys got any notes you want to talk about?
Sure. For which one? Part one or two? Part one?
Part one.
I thought that the dissections and those were really amazing. And I thought that they could have improved the opening of the film by, like, around what, 5 minutes, when, you know, you start in with that jaunty tune and the guy is waking up, getting operated on. I think that is what it should have opened the movie. And then after that, go back to the cadaver lab where they started cutting in. Cause I just felt like that's a great scene to start.
Yeah. He sees his own dissected arm and decides, you know, and then it cuts back to all the students having fun and jacking around in the auditorium they're working. Anyway,
that was just my thing.
I was drawn to this movie because of the plastination. So there's, I don't know if you guys are aware, probably you read about it, or maybe you've seen it, the Bodies exhibit or the Corpor Velt or whatever they are. They came to New York. We went to see them twice. My dad is an anatomist. I was also a biology major and spent a lot of time with cadavers. And so it was fascinating to me to see the dissections and the fact that they were props, models, whoever did those were pretty incredible. Because if you see the plastinated bodies at the exhibits, they are unbelievable dissections, just incredibly artistic. And I thought the movie did a good job with that. They showed them pretty much in the first, I don't know, 10 minutes of the film. They showed them again later on, but they didn't really give a lot of time on them. And I was blown away by the props.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alive, you know?
Ugh. Yeah. And it was obviously practical. And I have been to the Bodies in Motion. What's it called? Is it body? Not Bodies in Motion, there's but whatever that. One. Yeah. They had one over here at the Los Angeles, I think Science Center or something like that. And it was fascinating, really fascinating. So yeah, that part of it was really cool. And it, especially because some of the practical effects were very well done in this.
And I think one of the things that also attracted me to it, and, you know, I think The Cell maybe did it better, but it was kind of reminiscent of that in The Cell as well. They had the, you know, that horse that was all dissected out.
Cross-section horse. Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
And it's along those same lines. I thought they did a good job with that, that I haven't seen in any of the movie.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. Joe, what did you think?
I'm just going to go through some of my notes. This movie set at least a CineScare record for the fastest nipple shot out of all the movies we've ever watched. It was exactly 1 minute in, we see a full nipple during the credits. Granted, it was a guy's, but still a nipple's a nipple.
Wait a minute. When you say fastest nipple shot, do you mean it was the fastest shot of the nipple or the
shortest amount of time before we see a nipple?
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't think we've watched a movie where it's been less than 60 seconds
for a nipple
before it's this full nipple.
All right.
But, you know, that's a challenge to all you young filmmakers out there.
Something to aspire to.
Yeah. You know, maybe a different genre. I don't know. When Franca, whatever
Potente.
Her actual Potente, what was her character's name?
Paula.
When Paula is in the hospital after seeing her grandfather, when she goes to the other hospital where her dad works, her dad is in the middle of diagnosing some teenage girl, and her name is Connie. And says, Connie's got pubic lice, and he says, don't worry about it, and sends her on her way. And I'm thinking, if I heard the words as a teenager, pubic lice, that's every reason I need to worry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You skipped it?
I know. I skipped that note on accident. And I said, how old is this girl with crabs? Like, it's pretty scary.
Could you, maybe a prescription for some shampoo or something?
Right.
But yeah. Some of the dialogue. I think she was there on her own.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole crowd of people.
That's kind of how they do things over there, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I hope not. That would be embarrassing for Connie.
Well, I think they let her in. They had her in there and then they let these people come in, but I think it was a separate group. But so, you know, there's not much privacy, you know,
your tour group
meeting with your doctor about crabs and a whole family comes in.
I still think some of the dialogue that they had in this film was hilarious. Like the guy in the bar introduced himself. I'm Phil, as in fill her up. Like that was just such like the terrible, uncomfortable pickup line.
Yeah.
Their friend David that they meet on the train, who's, you know, he's the drama queen trying to get everyone's attention and has a coronary.
Yeah.
I just thought this was an odd choice that later on, when we find him nude and passed out, he's got his own tramp stamp. I didn't really think that was a guy thing, but he had one. Matt, like you, I had the same note too. There's nothing sexier than fucking on a cadaver table. A gaming table, but I'm not sure. Yeah. We already covered the Aldi thing. You know, this AAA, the anti,
right.
What is
Hippocratic.
It?
They're,
Anti-Hippocratic. They don't do a really good job of being a secret society.
No, you know,
it's kind of like the worst kept secret in Germany.
Yeah.
It's like everybody knows about that. And again, I think it's ironic that, you know, Paul is almost killed by the very drug that her grandfather invented. And the Germans have a lot to learn from us Americans about cool phrases to utter after you've killed somebody. The phrase "just joking, asshole" really doesn't send a message home.
No.
So I think maybe they should run that script by us Americans first.
Yeah.
Watch
or
some
maybe
Lethal
something
Weapon.
Got lost.
Yeah. Or it's more like they watched Schwarzenegger in the Batman movies. But
that one. Ooh.
Speaking of stinking, that was dark.
Yeah. Worse than Matt's cat's farts.
No.
Have we exhausted anatomy?
I don't think so.
Okay, so we're on to Anatomy 2.
Yeah.
So Anatomy 2 in 2003, also same director, which I think I forgot to mention before, Stefan Rzowiecki. Good.
That's
just kind of rolls German off the tongue.
That sounds more Polish.
He's from Chicago.
Yeah, Johnny Smith is what his
friends call
him. I think he's
Austrian.
Very well could be. So this is about Joe, who starts an internship in Berlin Hospital researching bionic muscle enhancement, or as I like to call it, the super soldier serum. Despite warnings, he joins an anti-Hippocratic group interested in results, not laws, and body counts. So, yeah. Tim and Aaron, why don't you go ahead and start this dissection?
Surely. Well, one of the themes that is kind of prevalent, I feel, mostly in this one, but a little bit in the first one, is this whole Nazism idea, right? Like, in the first one, Franke's grandfather was the inventor of this, which, you know, was clearly probably during the war. There's, you know, in the second movie, there's this whole sort of class system where you have the Filipino nurses and doctors who are living separately from everybody else and are kind of looked down upon by the master race people who are trying to, you know, create this supreme race of super people. So there's kind of that, you know, drugging people and doing, you know, body morphism and operations and things on them. So I kind of feel like they're touching on that a little bit. Maybe not with a hammer, but other than that, this movie was not, I didn't feel it was a horror movie. I felt it was more of a suspense thriller. If even that, it was just kind of a, I don't know. The arc of it was very strange. I feel like the lead character, Yo or Joe, kind of got himself into a pickle joining this, you know, his whole goal was to get into this anti-Hippocratic society so that he could do the work that, you know, they were doing and become his best self. And I think once he started seeing what everything was happening, it was way too late for him when he tried to get out. But he got out anyway. And so I just kind of felt like the continuity wasn't quite there. You know, he just sort of jumped around from, he's got this whole clan of people that he's very close with and, you know, they're rubbing shoulders and hanging out and having fun. And then all of a sudden he's back with the nice people that he started with.
Who for some reason want to save him for, I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen like gorier stuff on like actual, like, you know, Botched or Dr. Pimple Popper. So I was kind of like, okay, what is this movie?
And I guess I've forgotten
20. Oh yeah. That stuff gives me nightmares. I can't watch that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think we enjoyed it, but I don't know. We probably watched it 20 years ago or whatever when we got it, and it's certainly hasn't aged well.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
I think there are some interesting things to take away from it, but it's sort of, both movies are around, I think, an hour and a half, and the second one felt like it was about 2 hours longer.
Yeah.
It was feel a longer. Slog. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad they felt the same way.
Yeah.
The sex scene was interesting. The whole drug concept thing, back to the...
Oh, God, yeah. And why did she have three... You know what? I won't ask that question. Don't answer it. No one answer it.
The three seashells?
Yeah, basically. Why did she have the three seashells in front? Drugged him.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you guys?
Yeah, that doing? Actually, I that's actually my first note was it was the goofiest sex scene ever. It was just so bizarre, and then the way it was cut and everything was just very odd.
I was hoping he was going to split her in two.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, she basically gave him steroids to just jackhammer at home.
Right, yeah.
Oh, no, it went awry.
And then what I didn't understand is he only had one of his calves changed, right? Didn't they just put one in? I'm like, well, how does that balance? Like, one of your legs is going to go really fast. The other one's going to be normal, and it doesn't make sense. But he did kick that ambulance door right off its hinges with that leg, I guess. But still, it seemed odd. I would want both or find something else. Like, I can understand maybe having only the muscle in your right arm or something like that, because one arm can do some damage. But like a leg, you need them both basically working equally. If you have one that's way better than the other, it would be like having one that's way worse than the other. It would be like limping, I would imagine. So...
can I interject since we're talking about
that? Sure.
Because I have a note too. My note is, why in the hell would you want that in your calf? What are you going to do? Stand quickly on your tippy toes?
I know.
I mean, yeah. It's your calf muscle. Yeah. It's not going to make you run fast. You need it in your whole leg.
Joe,
and why would you waste it on a sport like soccer?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was to, if he needed to reach for something up in a high cabinet, he could do it really quickly.
Yeah. And with the greatest of ease. That's so stupid. Put it in your thigh.
Yeah. But
yeah, right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interject.
Because basketball.
That bothered me so bad. Yeah.
Well, some of them, did other parts.
Basketball would have been, it would help you jump higher.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your calves are important in soccer too, and it is the most popular sport in Germany. Yeah, I would imagine. Soccer is
not important.
Don't get me started, Joe. I love soccer.
It's one sport.
Yeah, I also wrote Mr. Hockey guy over here. That's going to be popular someday.
We don't need. The stuff lodge. On our calves to play hockey.
No. You don't even need brains to play hockey.
No.
The Lodge is
just
pretty.
Just have another Donnybrook.
I will say the Lodge is pretty lax in their secrecy. I did write that note as well. It doesn't seem like it would be hard for the investigators to bring the whole thing down. Nobody's keeping it secret. It seems like everything's out in the open. I don't understand. And everybody knows what it is. You bring it up and nobody, it's not like anybody says, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. They all know. I like the surgery history montage that they put together for us. That worked nicely. And then the guy jumping over the gurney, that maybe that's what the calf was for. He did that whole running scene where he was sort of, I don't know if it was parkour exactly, but he did a lot of jumping through windows and jumping over things, maybe it worked, but I would think, it would be hard to run with one superpowered calf and a regular one.
Running in circles.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know that this was particularly a horror movie. It seems like it was more about guys making bad decisions of stuff to put in their bodies and not really, I guess there was a chase scene at the end, but the first one seemed more body horror and this one, it didn't really go there. Yeah. And I would have, at a certain point, he had the laptop, which I'm assuming controls everyone, right?
Yeah.
So why didn't he just keep the laptop and then just control all those guys,
Kicking each other's asses. Yeah.
Yeah, he could have had them
fight.
There's got
to be a kill switch on there.
Oh. Yeah. Quit punching yourself. Quit punching yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would have been a good movie.
Yeah.
Step in yourself.
So, anyway.
I'm surprised you guys didn't know it on the bionic penis.
Oh.
It's low.
Do you recall that?
Yeah. We can't be bothered with such things as that, Tim.
Once I got my nipple shot in the first 60 seconds, the rest was just gray matter for me.
It was all Germany.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the scene where all of these research scientists or surgeons or whatever they are walking in slow motion down the hallway because they're so cool. Yeah. It's like, and everybody in the entire hospital or research facility stops and turns. It's like, those are the cool kids.
Yeah.
We've illustrated this by having them walk in slow motion.
That's the not so secret society where they're actually supposed to be illegal.
I think they meet on Wednesdays.
I have a note on here that personally I applaud. Here's the secret handshake.
What's the pass? There's no secret handshake. It's just a regular handshake.
Yeah. Personally, I applaud what they're doing. I don't know why we don't have bionic stuff. I'm like, we should have flying cars by now. We should have bionic soldiers by now. This is 2003. This is 22 years ago. We should have this stuff by now. Yeah. The chase scene you referred to. Yeah. Soccer. The chase scene that you were referring to earlier through that hospital was just right out of the Three Stooges. All you got to do is duck into a room, put on some different color scrubs, and you walk right out the front door. Piece of cake.
True.
And I'm harping on this AAA secret society is not much of a secret society at all.
No, not at all.
Again, worst kept secret in Germany. Yeah. So
I agree.
It held my interest for an hour and a half. No, it didn't, actually. I looked at my phone quite a lot during this one.
Yeah, it was a slog.
Are we ready to hit
speaking of third one? Speaking of people who could have just walked out the front door, let's talk about the next movie.
So because I wanted to keep this German, this movie is by a German director, Adam Girosh. I forgot there was one other little tidbit of information I wanted to point out about the last one. Did anybody realize who Benny was at the very beginning of our Anatomy 2 when he walks into that big banquet and he's slicing his shirt and his skin, his chest in front of his brother or whatever? The actor's name is August Diehl. He was in Inglourious Bastards. Okay. He played Major Hellstorm. When they were down in that bar in the basement, he was the one that sort of caused the ruckus.
He was hitting on the blonde one.
He started the fight. He wanted to sit at their table.
Yeah.
He's the one that got his balls blown off. So, okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just had to get that out of my head, or I wouldn't have slept tonight. Autopsy, 2008, in Louisiana while driving on State Route 53. I don't know why it's important we have the number. Emily has a car accident, and her boyfriend Bobby and their friends Claire, Dimitri, and Jude find that she's hit a stranger. They met him too quickly. Anyway, when they see an ambulance on the side of the road, they ask them if they for help, and the attendants bring them to Mercy Hospital. The nurse, Marion, asks Bobby to go to an exam room, and when Emily tries to get information about her boyfriend, she meets Dr. David Benway, who tells her Bobby's okay, but soon Emily unravels the dark secret about Dr. Benway and his team. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and step up to the plate on this classic.
Now, how did you pick this one?
Total random. I just started looking for German medical horror. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Was I supposed to do extensive research to find this?
Yeah, no, I'm just curious.
If I had, do you think I would have picked this?
I was curious. It's not German, but okay, so.
But the director's German.
That makes sense. All right. And it starts with an A. It seems like Autopsy and Anatomy.
I confuse the two frequently.
Okay, let's see. Okay, the stereotypical hospital, creepy hospital lighting was pretty good. It was nice of them to add that to their hospital lighting. You know, I could imagine. I kind of, you know, situations like that. I kind of picture the guys who are running this thing going out to the store and being like, what lights should we put in the hallway? You know what would be really creepy is some green and maybe some red lights. Let's do that. You know, actually I think if it had been sterile and white, it might've been creepier, but
yeah.
But these guys aren't like the greatest, you know, masterminds. They leave sharp weapons everywhere. Like, you know, you'd think that you'd pick up things like a scalpel that the victims might be able to fight back with. But there are sharp weapons all over this place. What kind of police uniform did that guy have? The guy who came into the hospital, it seemed, I don't know, like maybe some clothes you find in your closet, and then you put a badge on it and then a raincoat.
Isn't that official uniform, the yellow raincoat with the badge stuck on the outside?
Seems unlikely to me.
That's how they do it down in Louisiana on Route 53.
I guess so. Yeah, Route 53. I guess they're known for those raincoats.
All bets are off on Route 53.
What kind of police you are? Oh, yeah. Find me an electric drill. I love that whole scene where he's trying to do it by hand. I would have found the electric drill first, you know? Like, I would have done that first.
I would have gnawed at her skull with my teeth.
I would have shaved her hair off and stuck in the drill.
Goodness. Yeah, that would have probably been
here's
a good
another
idea.
I maybe would have rendered her unconscious first.
Another good
so
idea.
She would stop moving.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're not great at this. The dude just keeps and I do feel like there were guys just wandering around too, like victims kept walking around for the longest time. And when you're being chased, waiting for the elevator, that's not what you should do if you're being chased. Even if the guy's walking, you should probably try to find stairs. That would be the best thing.
Well, and she had the stairs. Why, yeah. It was only the elevator when she actually was like running for her life.
Yeah, she went up and down those stairs about 65 times. They must had a camera stuck in the corner of the top because, my God, there's a lot of stair action.
Yeah. Let's see. And then they have her held up against the thing, and the other dude just kind of walks by. It was kind of a funny moment there. And then I started wondering, like, this is supposed to be a closed hospital. How are they paying the light bill? You know, like this, there's like, how is any of this functioning? Like, who's funding the thing?
It's on Jenny out back.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And then why didn't the cop kind of question, like, why are you guys all here at a closed hospital? I mean, the 911 woman knew it was closed. Why didn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
But I mean, why he didn't wonder enough to stop anything or be like, maybe this girl's story is true. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed
to be closed. He's a bumbling cop.
Bumbling cop in horror movies. It's one of my notes.
Bumbling cop. Check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bleed out, bitch. That's not the greatest line. And then I'm like, why didn't this girl try finding an exit? At a certain point, she just sits down on the floor, like crying. I'm like, I would be looking for a way to get out. There were a lot of moments when these people could have just escaped, but it almost seemed like dream logic to a certain extent, but that wasn't the case. There's no way. And then the ending, like, what the hell kind of ending was that? Like, it ends in the middle of action. So
they ran out of film.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they're like, you know what? I guess we're done. So, yeah, this one was I did, even though it wasn't great, I did kind of, I found it funny. You know, it was funny enough to be entertaining-ish. So I don't know if I liked it more than part two of Anatomy. I don't know.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
But I want to know what Tim and Aaron thought.
Yeah.
Because this was new to them.
No, I thought it was right in there. I enjoyed it. I liked it more than Anatomy 2. That end scene, that like was the cell also, I thought.
There's a great moment, I thought, where she was just finally pissed and she just does that. They do that freeze where she's just like screaming and they do the kind of womp build up and she's frozen and scream. Love that. The hatchet to the face was excellent.
Yeah, I liked that. I did like that.
The guy, the weird random naked guy who shows up and jumps on the girl and just all his organs start pulling everything out. It's just going all over him. Intestines all over everywhere. Yeah. It was amazing.
Random
and her.
I did like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Her crushed in head too was with the little brain piece moving that she kind of was just like twitching. It was grotesque as hell. We really liked too the bit at the end where the guy was sort of, you know, he's her boyfriend or whatever was up on the table and all his organs were sort of spread out in a ring above him, hooked up to him, still functioning, which obviously is impossible, but it was gory and kind of cool. And it was wild. The guy
I agree Dieter, it was gory and cool, but I didn't see the point in it.
No, there was no point.
Agreed. It was unnecessary.
Like, they never explained. Like, if he could have given some sort of explanation as to why all of those organs had to be suspended outside of your torso, fine. But it was just, other than that, it was just a neat set piece. I do want to say, and this is a me thing, but I hate it when they do that. When you've got that body, that prop, and then you just sort of stick your head out from underneath it. That torso was way too long for his head.
It was all dark and hairy.
I had a note. This is the longest torso, dissected torso I've ever seen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no. What was another? When Buck from Kill Bill was cutting out the guy's liver, the guy Dieter, that was kind of crazy. Like it toward the beginning, yes. The guy who lasts about 2 seconds, Heath Ledger? The Russian guy. Yeah, Heath Ledger. Yeah, that was pretty interesting because that didn't look like any kind of human organ, but it was gnarly.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I want to read through some of these. These are the long. This movie had the longest opening credits I'd ever seen. Of course, glad to see Heath Ledger in this film, even though he wasn't. As you pointed out, Michael Bowen, who plays Travis the EMT, he was also Buck in Kill Bill. Speaking of other celebrity sightings, Private Vasquez from Alien, yes. Or I'm sorry, Aliens, was the nurse. Janet Goldstein.
Wow.
She also was in Terminator 2. She was the mom
with Robert
that Patrick. Got the that turned into the Terminator, the T-1000 or whatever. Yeah. And then speaking of which, she's getting together with what's his name again? Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Right.
So I have a note. There's about as many lights in this hospital as the one from the hospital in Halloween 2, which was way too dark. There seems to be an awful lot of patients just wandering around in the middle of a thunderstorm at night. Shouldn't they be locked in their rooms? I also, this whole Dimitri thing, this friend, this guy that they meet downtown Louisiana, Claire really hits it off with Dimitri really quick. And I understand she's trying to like piss off her boyfriend, or her boyfriend already pissed her off, but that was just seemed really, really unnatural. I did note that we're 24 minutes into this film and we've already seen the same establishing shot 3 times of the outside of the hospital with the lightning behind it. They really nailed that point home. Another note, Jessica Lowndes, who is our main character, Emily, she later on goes on to a very lucrative career at the Hallmark Channel, doing lots of movies around Christmas, just in case you wanted to know if her career took off or not.
I was worried about that.
Yeah. I know you normally are concerned about the livelihood of most of these actors.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, and she's trying to run away and escape from this hospital. She gets into that room and she can see that her boyfriend is in, what room was he locked in? The morgue.
Yeah.
And she's looking for a key for the morgue. She pulls open a desk drawer and sees all sorts of keys. One of them labeled morgue. Why would you not take all of the keys?
Yeah.
If you're trying to escape.
Not very bright.
Yeah. Wouldn't have taken that much of an effort. I also thought it was odd that the henchman guy, Scott, it's not really a henchman name.
It's well, maybe
he's using a belt sander to get fingerprints off of hands. They're in a hospital, for God's sake. They don't have like acid or something, or he could maybe
or slice them off. Yeah. Slice them.
Yeah. I love the fact that they've got like a big medicine cabinet room that you can go in and get all of the medications, even like a plastic bin filled with random pills with no lid on them. You can just take them by the handfuls.
Yeah. In a closed hospital, very well by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. With patients wandering around aimlessly everywhere. Yeah. I've got, my question is, and this, because we've hit most of my other highlights on this. My question when I see movies like this is normally, how did this get made?
Yeah.
But now my question for this one is, why did it get made? Like, was this, somebody wrote this and they really intended, first off, I think they found an abandoned hospital and then wrote a story around it.
Maybe.
Cause none of this works if they didn't have that hospital, but I see actors that I've seen before, like, this Robert Patrick and, Michael Bowen and Jeanette Goldstein, you know, they've worked before. They're known faces.
Yeah.
They signed up for this movie. Was this supposed to get like decent distribution? I had never even heard of it.
They got paid. This point, that's probably all it was. They just got paid.
I don't know who's this for. What were they trying to achieve?
I don't. They had an idea and they went with it. No.
Yeah. And the doctor's wife, I swear she was 300 years old. The one, because she's wearing like this old Victorian nightgown in her hospital bed. Seemed really creepy. Weird.
Yeah, it was.
Why wouldn't she just be in a gown?
Yeah.
So.
And the nurse is in like an old nurse's outfit. It's not, you know, it's not like a,
it's like Nurse Ratched.
Yeah. It's very strange. All right. Well, good.
So
good job, Joe.
That sort of wraps up this episode.
Yeah.
Three wonderful movies.
Well, you won't see many podcasts do a special episode on autopsy and anatomy.
German medical horror films. Yes. German made medical horror films.
Yeah.
Only here at CineScare.
Only here at CineScare.
I was telling Tim and Eric, do you realize we've been doing this for 4.5 years?
Yep. We're going to do it at least.
Good Lord.
Until the end of this year. At least.
Yeah. And then we'll renegotiate.
Yeah, this October will be 5 years. Yeah.
My God.
Oh. 5 years of pure loving.
I've got shoes that old.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We'll have to do something special for applause. Yeah. All right. Well, our next episode. Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I love me some horror movies. And so what we're going to do is we're going to watch 15 horror movies. How, you may ask?
How am I going to watch 15? Actually, I'm not, because I probably could watch 15.
Well, you can watch 15 horror movies, Joe, if they're really short. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to watch some horror shorts.
There's an idea.
And all of these movies are available on YouTube. So unfortunately, the one that I've been waiting for a long time, well, almost a year now, for The Kindness of Strangers to be released. And I talked to the actress at the Hollywood Horror Fest, and she said they don't know when it's ever going to be released, and he just keeps wanting to do festivals. So I just decided, what the heck? Let's just do some shorts. So
hell with them.
To hell with them. Some of these are super short. I think all of them are under 10 minutes. But
okay.
So the first one is from 2018, and this is a very creepy little short called The Other Side, or not The, it's just Other Side of the Box. And this is from 2018, directed by Caleb J. Phillips. And yes, you can find all of these again on YouTube. The next one is from 2020, and it's called Guest, directed by Finn Callan. And if you see the main whatever thumbnail of it, it's a kind of creepy looking bluish guy with giant eyes. You'll hit the right one. Let's see.
These are all on YouTube?
These are all on YouTube.
Okay.
From 2021, Ignore It. This is 7 minutes long. It's directed by Sam Evenson. And some of these shorts on YouTube could be pretty creepy. Like they have some good jump scares and some creepy moments. So I think you guys will enjoy it. Laura Hasn't Slept from 2020. And this is directed actually by Parker Finn, who directed Smile and Smile 2, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at him go.
I know. He's moved up to shorts.
Yeah.
From 2013, Lights Out. This is the very famous short on YouTube. It's only 3 minutes long, directed by David F. Sandberg. They did make a...
I think I've seen that.
Yeah. It's a very, very popular one. It went viral, as they say.
Yeah.
From 2009, an animated one called Behind... Ooh. Closed Doors from 2009, directed by Jonathan Button. The next one from 2013, this is Behind the Door, directed by Baylia Hart. Behind the Door.
Not Behind the Green Door.
No, Behind the Door.
Just Behind the Door. Okay.
Yeah.
Wrong movie. Yeah.
From 2008, Bedfellows by Drew Daywalt. This is a very creepy one, and it's only 3 minutes long. See? I'm doing you guys favors here. These are short. From 2017, Salt, directed by Rob Savage, who also directed Host and The Boogeyman. That's Salt. Let's see. From 2016, The Maiden. This is 9 minutes long, and this one is directed by Michael Chavez. He also directed The Nun 2 and The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, and La Llorona. Holy shit, he directed a lot of stuff.
Wow.
And he's directing the one that's coming out this year called The Last Rites, or The Conjuring Last Rites. So that's The Maiden. And a lot of these, you know, a lot of these filmmakers do wind up getting a career out of the, you know, they do a really good short and they wind up getting a career out of it. Yeah. The next one is called 2 a.m. The Smiling Man from 2013, directed by Michael Evans. Let's see. There we go. Tuck Me In from 2014, directed by Inacio Rodo, I think is his name. So this is called Tuck Me In. And from 2022, The Chair, directed by Curry Barker. This one actually has gone kind of viral, I guess. I don't know about viral, but it's won a lot of awards. It's called The Chair. And then there's two more left. From 2020, Don't Peek, directed by Julian Terry. And last but not least, or hopefully not least, The Dinner After from 2021, directed by Maddie Crawford. And again, as I said before, you can see all of these movies on YouTube. So have fun. And these are all, they're pretty creepy. These are the kinds that you watch on your laptop.
How many of these?
15.
And that was all of them that you just wrote?
That was all of them, yeah.
Okay, I was looking for a pen. Could you start over again so I can write these down?
No, I'm texting them to you right okay. this second, That'll Joe. Work. So That'll I'm texting you the list that I have on Letterboxd. But I will post this on the Facebook or on the Facebook group as well so you guys can see all the movies you're supposed to watch. So, but anyway. Those are the movies for next week. So, unfortunately, our guests, I don't know if they lost their connection or if they had to go, but they just dropped out. So.
No, they said we're back, but I don't see them. So
yeah, I don't either.
No, they dropped their connection.
Okay.
But
well, if they don't show up again, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Tim and Aaron, for being our guests on the show, our first pair of guests.
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, that was fun. Glad they could make it.
Yeah, it was great. So, all right. Well, I guess that's it this time. We'll see you. Or go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Check out our stuff and be on the lookout. Actually, the new audio version and book cover for Devil's Glen, I'm going to be releasing that sometime in March, pretty soon. We have our final version of the cover now, so we're going to be doing a launch for that pretty soon. And then I went back and I rewrote the ending to my second book because I screwed it up, and so I took out the ending that I originally had, and now and when I first put it, I had an ending that I loved, and I took some bad advice and I cut it, and so I have I put the original ending back in, so it's going to be a new version. I will give people, if you've already bought the book, I'll give people an option to download the digital version for free, so you don't have to buy it a second time. But I'm recreating the ending because that was half the reason I wasn't able to do my third one. So anyway,
Think you're onto something.
Yeah,
You're onto something. You wrote a book. And then you didn't like the ending, so you just rewrote the ending, made a new ending.
Yeah.
You could just keep doing that. Why rewrite the whole book from scratch again?
That's true.
Just keep changing the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like those choose your own adventure books.
Yeah, that's true.
Just you can choose your own ending.
Which book you want. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Make a million. You're welcome.
But I will say restoring this ending is making the prospects of finally finishing the third book so much easier. So, yeah. But that'll be coming sometime this spring. But Devil's Glen, the new book cover launch and audiobook will be coming probably in maybe a couple weeks. So I'll be announcing it though. And Tim and Aaron, thank
and
you.
And Aaron. Guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry we fell away.
That's all right. We're so used to that happening.
Oh, yeah.
We did. More than you know.
No,
yeah. Listen to the past 116 episodes and you'll see it's happened more than once.
It's happened many times. Yeah.
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 So it was a pleasure to join you guys. Yeah, thank you for having us.
I loved having you. We'll have to have you back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, all right. That's it for this time. And we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
There's a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're so senseless, girl.